Listen to the PA Rut Report, Pennsylvania's premier podcast station, PA Rut.
All right, all right, all right. You are here with PA Rut Report's Hunting, Fishing, and Outdoors. We are on podcast episode 24.
Episode 24.
The archer season has begun. Of course, our last one, we talked about food plots, and you should check it out because it was a very interesting and intriguing podcast about prep before the season and up until, you know, basically right now. So we are in a couple weeks into the archery season and doing well. Seeing a lot of deer out there. I am.
No, it's been a very active season in relation to the last couple years, at least for me. Lots of early morning activity, more than I've seen. I've seen a lot of doe, but still the doe now, if the doe are still there, which they're still there, they'll start turning on and the game will get a little bit different. Hopefully.
Well, that's what I got myself in a situation where I got myself into some acorns that they were feeding on. And it seems like every night the same group of doe are coming down in, which is a good thing. As Roy, Brother Roy said in the other podcast, which he's with us here tonight. I forgot to introduce these guys, and I'll do that in a second.
Shame. I was waiting on that.
I was going to interrupt you, but every time I interrupt, I get
Brother
yelled at.
Roy is with us again, and Dr. Bill is with us again, or here tonight for the first time.
Good to be here.
But what I did was got myself in the mix of some acorns. And they've been coming down in every single night. So I know that I have those doe out there. And like I said, as Brother Roy said last time, that's bait. And
What for oak trees are you hunting
bait.
In?
White oaks. White oaks.
Yep.
All white
that's
oaks.
That's where I've been hanging out.
They're hammering them, man. It's like they're putting feet, I mean, for a half hour at a time feeding underneath me. So.
Well, sometimes they do that.
Dr. Bill, how's your deer hunting going this year?
So far, so good. First couple weekends were super horrible weather. Super, super windy, super rainy, gusty. But that third Saturday was a beautiful day and had a super good morning. Saw all kinds of deer, passed on a couple of bucks that we like to kind of pass on. 2.5-year-olds probably. Nice eight, decent eight and a decent nine. And saw does all morning long, but the weather's been terrible for this first time.
Yeah, it has.
The
past couple Saturdays have been
put this
rough.
In perspective for you. Brother Roy and Dr. Bill hunt the same property, so they're under the same kind of management regiment. So whenever they say they're passing on bucks, they're doing it for a good reason.
Let them get bigger. We don't plant these food plots for nothing.
That's true. You guys plant a lot of acreage. A lot of acreage.
So as I said, we're into the first few weeks archery season. Coming into it is November 1st today. You guys will probably hear this episode like November 4th, November 5th.
yep.
You know, whenever we get to posting it and editing it and everything, but we are into the awesome time to be in the Pennsylvania woods, to have a bow in your hand or crossbow or longbow, whatever you prefer. It's just a great time to be out in the woods. There is a ton of activity. Deer getting very, very vocal. I've heard more vocalization out of deer this year than I ever have in my probably 16 years of archery hunting. Just awesome grunting. Heard a really deep wallowed grunt come out of the thicket the other Saturday. Unbelievable to hear that. You're just sitting there, you're not seeing anything, and all of a sudden you hear that behind you, and it just gets your heart racing. How about you guys? You been hearing that stuff?
Early in the season, you know, whenever you just start to hear some of the grunts, a lot of the grunts that I've been hearing have been from, they're noticeably from smaller bucks.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's not that deep. I haven't heard any of that deep stuff that I've like seen in seasons past, but a lot of the grunts and, you know, even the bleats that I've been hearing have been coming from like younger
yeah.
does.
Yep. Yep.
A lot of spikes. 4 points.
Yeah. 3 points, yeah. 4 points, small sixes, small eights.
Button bucks.
All the bucks that I've been seeing so far this season.
It's their first experience of chasing around a girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, of course, that deep grunt I heard, I never saw that deer. It was just cool hearing it. But, yeah, like you guys said, all the little ones right now are pretty much like they're grunting the whole way they're walking.
He was just teasing you.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Teasing is what they do, I guess. So, anyway, we have the time is upon us, but a lot of guys were getting frustrated probably 2 weeks ago with what they call the October lull. I didn't have much of a problem with it because I saw does pretty much
is
every
it
time
lull?
I put this down. Lull.
Is it lull or lull?
Lull.
Lull. Lull. Lull.
Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. It's when you don't see any deer on stand, you get aggravated.
The lull.
So anyway, the October lull. I didn't experience it. I saw does every time I took a stand.
Yep. Myself.
Pretty sure. The articles are all titled. It says, "Is there such a thing as the October lull?" Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Is there?
I would say. I mean, it's hard to say. And I mean, there's years obviously where activity is different than other years. I don't know if I'd attribute that to something that happens every single season, at least in the area that I hunt. It's not recurring in a manner in which you would say it's something that's actually there, but my area is a high traffic area. So kind of hard to say. But anyways, the October lull, as we're getting into that, are we going to talk about?
Yeah, sometimes I think that's just a guy hunting a stand day after day after day, and then eventually
not seeing nothing.
Scaring them out and sticking them off.
Eventually they get mad and they're not seeing anything and keep hunting it for some reason. But yeah, I think that's part of the lull.
too many leaves on the trees and you can't see out of them anyway. So you spend a lot less time in the woods in October, probably early October anyway, early season.
Yep.
But the weather conditions
have an impact on that.
Coming into these coming weeks here, I thought they were going to be great, and all of a sudden they're taking a turn for the worse, which tomorrow is the 2nd. It's supposed to be 75 degrees.
Heat wave. This heat's got
to
go.
We like to get tropical right when the rut's starting to kick
off.
It
does. It seems like it's been doing that the past couple of years. Yep. Last year was hot.
Last year was real hot. I took this week off, coming off, instead of the last week, and it was 75 degrees every day. Terrible.
I wasn't there to see it, but Roy said he was in his underwear on the weekend.
Well, that was Saturday.
You got to let it air out, man.
It was too hot.
Camouflage underwear.
I climbed out of dark, and I had to get the layers off from the cold morning.
Yeah, that happens. That happens. So, yeah, last year you could probably attribute to a lull, but it was definitely warmth-based lull. So this year we're going to experience a little bit, but then the temperature is supposed to drop back down progressively from Wednesday through, I think, Sunday, and then it's supposed to go back up, but this weekend should be knock on whatever you can knock on, a very, very good time to be out.
From Wednesday evening or Wednesday afternoon to Thursday morning, I think that it's supposed to drop like 20 some degrees. So it should be a pretty good morning.
Yeah, it should be. As long as the wind don't get out of control.
Yeah, that wind's terrible.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. Sunday, beautiful out there again.
Oh, yeah. Sundays are always
nicest day.
Oh, we can't hunt on Sundays. So, I'm seeing. I went from seeing a lot of scrapes in the early, like mid of October, and no rubs to seeing now a lot bigger scrapes. Not as many scrapes, but a lot bigger scrapes and a ton of rubs out there.
Yeah there's rubs. There's rubs popping up everywhere.
So, do you guys hunt rubs, or do you hunt scrapes, or how do you hunt these?
Oh, I mainly hunt the our property we've hunted for a long time. I just jump around from food to food. I hunt the white eggs, the white egg patches.
Yeah, you guys' property is a little bit atypical to most others, just based on the amount of work that you guys put in to it every year.
I have next week off. Me and Bill both have next week off to hunt every day.
There we go.
I have places. We both have places we don't step foot in
until
that last week of archery. And we only go in there maybe 2 days, 3 days, and then that's it throughout the whole week.
We don't hunt the scrapes. The deer seem to scrape where we are.
the scrapes come to them.
I have a big community scrape on the property. I talked about this with the R2 guys in their last podcast, but it gets big, really big, like 4 foot in diameter. It seems like every buck on the property at least visits it once. I right now have 14 or 15 different bucks coming into that community scrape, and I have two of the bigger ones that decided to show themselves in daylight just last week. So it's starting. It's getting there. This week I should see a hell of an improvement with pictures of bigger deer, I hope, on that community scrape. But that's pretty much how I gauge when the rut is kicking in fully is when I start seeing those big ones come in daylight. I don't ever go in there and hunt it until I start seeing those guys come in there in the daylight, other than to switch out trail camera cards or change the batteries. So this Saturday is going to be the first time I hunt that community scrape. And I'm about 30 yards off of it.
Sounds like a good spot.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's worth a try.
We'll see until I get in there and I don't see a thing, get frustrated again.
Just don't spook them out.
Big part of it. Big part of it.
you know, doing the right things, sometimes passing on those bucks, and if you don't have the shot, if it's not, whether it's enough daylight or whether it's outside of your range, it builds character.
Oh, yeah.
So you might not sleep at night, but you've got all the character.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's haunting me. He's talking about this story I posted on Facebook a few days back. Last Wednesday night, I had an encounter with one of the biggest bucks I've ever seen in the woods. Heck of an encounter. Heart still races when I talk about it, but basically 10 yards away, he came in, finally got 10 yards away, was standing there broadside, and if you read the story on Facebook, got too dark, I couldn't see my pins, I could only make out the outline of his body. Just wasn't a good situation, and I decided not to take the shot. There's 100 people out there that told me that they would have taken the shot.
That's better to pass on something.
200
like
more that say they wouldn't have. So,
he didn't go nowhere.
Nope,
he's still there.
It's true. You've seen him show up, and again, as we've discussed this before, it's much better to be ethical and not take those questionable shots than it is to hit a deer and not find it. At least in my opinion,
that's even the worst feeling.
In my entire archery season. I've hit two and not been able to find them, and they're still worse to think about even today, and this was decades ago when I shot them. That feeling that you have just year over year of, one, hitting them and not finding them, and two, hitting a really nice one and not finding it, is a killer.
A lot of encouraging remarks on that thing that I posted. So thank you, PA Rutter people. There was one on there that I disliked, and I am going to talk about
that
on the podcast. And a guy said, you should have been using a crossbow.
I should have been using a crossbow.
Meaning you would have had a scope on there, and it would have illuminated.
You could have
shot that. I'm going to have to bite my tongue a little bit on this. But
you're not a crossbow hunter.
I'm not a crossbow hunter. I'm not either. Compound bow hunter. I'm a long bow hunter, and that's what I use, a compound bow.
I see nothing wrong with crossbows, but
there's no sense in saying that I should have been using a crossbow. I don't.
He didn't know how old you are. He didn't know if you have physical ailments. No. Maybe you're like a 7-year-old kid. You know, nobody really knows.
We'll save his name.
That's right.
Not there's anything wrong with using a crossbow.
No,
use a crossbow. But I shouldn't have been using a crossbow. I'm a compound bow hunter.
So I had somewhat of a similar experience to what Brad had, except mine was in the middle of the day. This was 2 seasons ago. I was walking into an area that I hadn't hunted before that same year, typically a high traffic area when the rut kicks in, and I'm walking back to the stand with my stand on my back, really carrying a climber, and I see a flash of brown about 60 yards down to my left, and I'm standing there and I'm watching it, and I'm watching it, and all of a sudden it lifts its head up, and it a guy in the adjacent property ended up shooting it in the second season. Scored a 152. I mean, it was massive. So kind of
saw that buck. Yeah. It was massive.
So my heart stopped. I dropped down to a knee. He was booking it pretty good because there was a doe that must have come up through past me before I actually got in there. Moving pretty good. And I did the old rat, rat. He stopped broadside 20 yards in the one area out of like the whole woods where he could have stopped and had a block, bush up into the kill zone. So I drew back and I sat there in my head. I'm like, should you take this? It was the hardest decision I've ever made in my life. And then because I was holding, hoping that he would take, I mean, he could have taken 2 or 3 steps out and I could have had a shot. He turned directly away and walked straight out for me. And I stood up and I thought, because that would have been the biggest buck by far that I've ever shot. But one of those ones where
makes you wonder if you should have shot or not.
I would have hated to shoot that thing and wound it and not find it and then it be found dead.
Bunch of ethical hunters here, PA Rutter.
Darn
report.
Ethical hunters.
Your friend that wants you to shoot with a crossbow.
He's not my friend.
He's not my friend.
He should. In response to that, I think that maybe he should try a vertical bow.
There you go.
And he should also be able to experience passing up on a deer. There's a lot to that.
Yes.
I mean, if you get enough seasons under your belt, and I've got 20 odd more seasons than y'all do, and really once you, these stories all become cumulative. So
yep.
You really start, you know, an ethical hunter doesn't change their ways. You know, so you're going to stay that way. You will always be an unethical hunter, and you'll get a lot more of those stories just like that. So everybody doesn't have one of those, and it's nice to have a trophy on the wall. You got plenty of trophies over there. I saw like walking in. So you got plenty of big bucks, and it's sometimes just important as a good hunter to have stories on the ones you pass or the ones that you didn't take a shot at.
The one that got away.
It's true. Yeah. Some of them, back. That story I'll remember for the rest of my life. I'll tell my kids about that story. I'll be telling it every other day to somebody else for the next
I bet you I'll hear a couple more times.
For this whole season.
Every three podcasts.
Yeah, it sticks with me. It's running through my head. I do a lot of driving for work, so there's a lot of time to think on the road, and that's pretty much all I've been doing the past week is thinking about that deer.
Replaying the
scenario over my head and, you know, cursing things I did right, cursing things I did wrong, and ultimately, I was within the grasp of at least 130-inch deer, if not a lot bigger than that, and I'm happy about that.
You could go out and get some of the illuminated sights.
No, they're illegal.
They're illegal.
They're illegal. Illegal in the state of Pennsylvania. But enough about that story. We'll be talking about it again tomorrow, I'm sure.
Soon enough.
We have Little Bucks cruising. They were cruising early. Pretty much saw them from the middle of October on until right now. Some of the big bucks are on their feet, are cruising, are responding to calls. If you look at PA Rut Report's roll calls and the stories on the guys that have harvested nice, mature deer, they are responding to calls. A couple of the guys rattled some in. A couple of the guys grunted some in. There was a little bit of mixture of all three, bleats, grunts, and rattles, they're saying. So there's a lot of stuff going on out there, a lot of different areas, or the bucks are acting different, or maybe it's just the way that the guys are calling and the certain times that they're doing so. But the deer are actually responding now, making a lot of noise out there.
A surprising amount of folks that have harvested deer in our section of Facebook that have rattled them in. More this year than in years past, and I don't know if it's just more people posting on our site, but that's always intriguing.
I don't rattle
too much. I've done it a few times, and I've had it work, and I've had it totally not work. Yep. Just different years. I mean, yep. I've had some bucks come in. I rattled a 4-point in for 20 minutes one day, 5 or 6 times. I'd let him leave. I'd rattle. He'd come back. Finally, he gave up and left. It was like 15 minutes, but I always looked up. Biggest 10-point I ever seen. Right behind my dad's house. I missed him. 35 yards. That was before rangefinders. Before I had a rangefinder. I rangefind that spot every time I'm in that spot still. And I look at him like, how did I miss him?
In the days before rangefinders.
I've used grunt calls, and I can't say I've ever turned a deer to come back my way for a grunt. That's just me.
Yeah,
never.
You know, some people say that they'll turn them or see it on the TV show, but it never happened to me.
I've called them in with a bleat call. Young ones, one mature deer. I called in a nice 8-point up in Clearfield. I was hunting up in Clearfield County. That was 6-7 years ago, and I bleated one time. I saw him off in the distance, about 150 yards away. I bleated one time. He came in on the line on a string. Just didn't work out. I couldn't get a shot at him, but he did turn and come. I mean, came a howling in. So,
decoys, you ever consider?
No, and I had a lot of guys asking if they were legal, and they are legal in PA to use as long as they don't have any mechanical device on there.
Nothing.
No movement.
Yeah, so they are legal to use in PA. So we had a couple guys ask that on the page. I wasn't really sure how to respond to that. I told him to check the book out, but I thought you were allowed to use them, and I think that's the deal.
That is the deal.
You can use them. You cannot use them with a mechanical device.
Yeah, nothing electronic.
I talked to a guy who, I mean, he swears by it. I've never tried it. I don't have one that I would say, other than my big, giant Glendale Target.
Pop that out there.
Through the woods.
That'd be fun.
Shooting that thing through the woods and dodging arrows from you know, who knows?
Brother Roy.
From Brother Roy.
Wouldn't be me.
Thinking, it wouldn't be you. I was thinking, I never used one, but I've been, you know, hearing more about it and other guys do it. I don't know if y'all tried it or not.
Well, I mean, I don't know how that would work. A lot of guys, you see those decoys, and a lot of the times they're used out in the middle of a field or like in the edge of a field. I don't know how it worked out for me being in the middle of the woods and like the thick cover and stuff like that. I guess it would work the same way. They're just, you know, they're looking for something. They see that, they'll come in. I don't know. I think about it quite often. I say, well, a decoy would be pretty cool right below me right now. You know, coming off this ridge, the deer are going to see that, take their eyes off of me and focus on that.
Yeah, but then I always think, what if a bunch of deer come into that decoy, and then they end up getting spooked because of the decoy, and then they run off, and, you know, everybody leaves there. You know, you're just, I don't know if it would work or not.
Yeah, I'm kind of a, it's... I'm 50-50 on it, I guess. I never use one. I probably never will. Yeah. I got enough gear. I got to haul into the damn woods and plenty. I'm bagging a decoy in with me.
There's enough guys that use them, though, that I think, I mean, it works.
It works in some situations.
Your property would be ideal.
Our property would be good for it.
Because you can set up, like, where you're set up at, a lot of times where I'm set up on your property, you know, I can shoot into the field, but I am actually into the woods.
Right.
So
yep.
It wouldn't be bad to have something out there on the outskirts. Not really screwing with your deer inside the woods.
That way, if a deer 400 yards across the field sees that deer, it'll come in and investigate.
And there's enough, we'll say there's enough stripped out wooded area where if they're traveling in the main area where I typically hunt and they're traveling in those adjacent little strips between the fields, if you have something out there and you're on the other side and you're calling or doing whatever it is to attract the attention to it, it'll probably a higher probability of drawing something across. I think a lot of it.
Unique things about archery season in the early season like that, you know, we get to see things that a lot of hunters don't get to see.
That's true.
You know, so there's a lot of things that we get to see in the woods, whether it's, you know, all the other game, you know, a lot of the what I do early in the archery season is the interesting things that you do get to see in the woods. And we were talking about that, Roy. Yep. Roy just saw a red-tailed smash a squirrel.
Yeah, you get to see stuff like that.
There's a lot of things a lot of hunters don't get to see, and I think that's the only reason why I ever even thought about like the decoy thing. I thought, that'd be something
to try, maybe. Just try it.
Just try. You never know till you try. And yeah, the early, especially the early part of archery season is one of my favorite times of the year, just because of the ability for you to see things like Dr. Bill's saying here that you typically won't see, at other times of the year. Actively, I had a red-tailed hawk land in a tree about 15 yards to my left, the second Saturday. And I mean, they're just amazing creatures. And then it took off and flew through the woods for about 150 yards just weaving through trees.
And what did the squirrels all do then?
Before he came in,
yep.
I'm sitting there and I'm hearing stuff rustle all around. I'm like, and it was a relatively wet day. So I was like, that's not leaves. It was the squirrels running around in the trees above me.
And they start chattering.
Two of them straight down and he came. Didn't get any, but it was impressive. A lot of wildlife out there. A lot of turkeys. A lot of fox.
Bill, you had that Fisher sighting.
You know what? That's a good first one. I walked into a stand where I had put a glow dot on a tree the night before, where I had left my stand hanging. So the next morning, I'm easing into the woods, and I walk in the dark if I can. I flipped the light on, flipped it back off, saw where I had seen something glowing, and walked a little. I thought, oh my God, that's a lot closer than what I thought it was, but I guess it's right there. I saw the tack, and took another 15 or 20 steps and flicked the light on, and I saw a critter in a tree coming down. I thought, in the heck is that thing in that tree? And I got a lot of woods experience, and I had never seen anything like this. I thought, looked like a big mink. But it wasn't as big as like a river. It was just, but it was coming down the tree, just like a squirrel would come down a tree. And it's sitting and staring at me, and I stared right back at it, had my light on, and I took two steps closer, and it took two steps closer to me. And I thought, I can't, but what is this thing? I'm staring at it in the woods right here. And I stared at it for a while, and it was staring at me, and I thought, well, I kind of got to get busy. I don't know what you are necessarily. And I looked out, and I saw where my tack was. Whenever I got in my stand, found the stand, get all the way up in the tree, and my hooks were already in the tree, and I'm hanging my stuff in the tree. I hear scurrying across the woods floor, and this thing starts coming up my tree. I flash a light back.
Fishers, they have teeth.
They are nasty animals.
And I thought, what in the world is this thing that's coming up my tree? I got my boot and I scraped a little bit of bark off the tree and it fell down on this thing. I turned around and skedaddled and I had no idea what it was. And I went back and in fact, I had said something to Roy's pap about it. And he said, well, that was a fisher. And I had never even heard about fishers. That was, what, three, four?
Probably four years ago.
About the time they released them.
Yeah.
And it was a...
They're starting to pop up everywhere.
Remotely big. I mean, it wasn't as big. And then the following year, I had seen a full-grown fisher 3 feet long. And I thought, well, gee whiz, I saw a little baby one.
Yeah. Yeah, but I've heard...
I heard they can be vicious.
They're aggressive. Oh, they are. They're aggressive creatures, yeah.
They have claws on
them. No, they will investigate something.
I've got some trail cam pictures of them.
You know, a squirrel does in the tree. Investigates and stands there and looks at you 5 feet away.
Screams at you.
Yeah, but the fisher's a lot bigger.
Well, they say they're eating the turkeys off the roost. I don't know if that's...
why they're up in the trees, probably.
Well, I've heard that.
Yep.
They release them to kill the porcupine, or to help...
manage the porcupine.
Manage the porcupine, yeah.
They being... well.
State Farm.
State Farm Insurance.
State Farm Insurance. A lot of porcupine accidents out there.
So, they're trying to take care of the porcupines. They put these fishers out for that, but I don't think that they realized how many turkey they were going to kill, and I've heard that they are killing a lot of them.
They're not killing very many at our property. We got almost too many turkeys.
You're going to be releasing some fishers.
Really call them nuisance turkeys.
Yeah, they eat all my seed after turkeys. I put it down on the ground.
Where were we at after? I don't even know where we started. We got off topic there.
Did we?
That happened.
I think so.
That's all right. That's all right.
Okay.
Big bucks. Get back to the big bucks.
What do you got right down over there?
You got big bucks cruising.
Well, I got a good sub wildlife story before we get back into the big bucks.
You're going to make wildlife noises as you do this.
Actually, there is a wildlife noise.
I figured it would be good.
In regards to this story. So I have one stand that has a... padded like cloth seat that just folds up, and it was before the season. I was going up just to check the stand, make sure the straps are all right and everything. So I got up there and I pulled the seat out, and there was a chipmunk in there, and it kind of startled me. It looked up at me and went,
there's the noise.
But it was one of those instances where when it comes to safety, I mean, you never know what's going to happen out there. You never know when a strap is going to break or there's going to be something in your tree stand. When I saw that thing, I kind of took a step back, and if I'd have taken one more step back, I'd have been like, G.I. Justin had fallen out of the stand and busted some stuff up. But it's just one of those things to always be, we'll say, take into consideration. Strap in when you're going up to check things. Strap in as much as you can just for safety's sake. So back to the big bucks.
All right, big bucks cruising. So I talked about that community scrape. Do you guys have one on your property where it's pretty much
Not really. We have scrapes. They'll hit the same little scrapes all the time. It ain't like a big giant scrape.
Okay. But I have two of them on the property.
I mean, we might have, if I walked around, we probably got 30, 40 scapes. I mean, everywhere. They're just everywhere.
Interesting. You saying community scrapes.
Field edges and stuff. We have a lot of low-grow bushes, the modern olives, I say about. Yeah. Wherever they're hanging out, about head level, the deer scrape on them. It might be every 5 feet, 10 feet, or might, there's a lot of them.
But there's these two old coal hearths on the property where the loggers, when they logged it out, used to burn all the stuff or whatever they were doing.
The flat spot. They're like big flats. Yeah, big flats. Where they made, give you a little logging stuff here.
There you go.
They took the hemlock trees and they peeled them all. They made charcoal. They're charcoal flats.
Okay.
That's where they made charcoal all
right.
on them flats
okay.
with
so
the hemlock bark.
There's a couple more of them, but two of them on the regular every single year get hit really hard. There's one branch hanging over the one cool hearth, and it's really, really black, sooty dirt. I don't know if it holds the smell long.
It's probably minerals, a lot of minerals in that.
Okay.
Is what I would say.
So, I don't know what it is about it. We could say maybe minerals. But they, you know, come to this thing. I have 14, 15 different bucks coming into this one. And the only reason I don't have a camera on the other one is because it's basically right in the middle of the bedding area. And I don't
keep keep out of there.
Yeah, I don't.
Yep, don't walk in there.
I don't go into there. I stay out until basically the rut, just like the other one. Then I'll go hang a climber pretty close to it. But, yeah. Community Coalhearths. Do you have any on your
Coalhearths?
Yeah. Do you have any on your property road?
No Coalhearths that I've come across.
It just seems to work out for me.
We have lots of them right above ours. Not on our property. It's on game lands, but there's a lot of them on the side of that mountain.
Yeah. Well, that seems like something you have to determine if that's a community scrape. I mean, you have to hunt somewhere nearby, obviously, and see a lot of
different bucks coming
to that spot. You know, as opposed to just finding a scrape and it's just saying that's a big scrape versus...
Yep. Yeah.
That's where your trail cams come into play.
Yeah, I mean, that's what my trail cam goes there about the first week of October, and it doesn't leave till the end of rifle season. And I have multiple bucks in there every single week. From
probably a lot of does visiting, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of does coming in and out of there. But the bucks are... it's unbelievable how many bucks come in there and leave. And sometimes I'll see one like... it'll be like bear season, and I'll see one I never saw before, you know, and then in rifle season, we won't see a darn thing rifle hunting, and I got 16 pictures of bucks on that camera here and there. So
grabbing them out.
It's
nature of the beast.
I stand 30 yards from that thing. I'm going to hammer one on Saturday.
Yep. So to close out on the first half of episode 24, in relation to big bucks cruising, I always like our site this time of year because just there's more bigger and bigger bucks that start getting posted by users that frequent our Facebook page. And there's been a decent amount of really nice bucks shot so far this year. If you haven't checked it out yet, go to Facebook and check out the post by others section on our page. And what we do is every time somebody posts a picture to there, we'll then take ones out, either of youth that shoot their first animal or youth that are shooting deer and or the largest bucks that come across our page. So there's some big stuff coming out. Gonna be good next couple of days. Get out in the woods. This is the end of the first half of episode 24. We are PA Rut Report, PARutReport.com.
And don't forget Brother Roy over here.
Check us out on Instagram.
Don't forget Brother
Check
Roy.
Check out Brother Roy's page.
Brother Roy and Dr. Bill.
For all your edible needs and food plot prep. Go ahead, Roy.
I can't talk like that on here.
Food plot prep
and nature's forage.
Yep.
Anyway.
We'll be back with you here in a couple seconds. Second half.
After our commercials from our sponsors.
Here we go.
PA Rut Report is your home for Pennsylvania's premier real-time hunting feed. Elevate your awareness with up-to-the-minute updates on rut activity throughout the Commonwealth. Tune in to the PA Rut Report podcast for even more updates, tips and tricks, and outdoor tall tales. PA Rut Report is dedicated to the strengthening of the tradition.
All right, we are back. PA Rut Report's Hunting, Fishing, and Outdoors.
Episode 24.
Still with us, Brother Roy, Dr. Bill.
Dr. Bill's new to the show.
PA Rut Rob. Dr. Bill is new to the show.
Heck of an addition
for this episode.
Well, it's pretty
great
rare.
Stuff. Yeah. Knowledgeable fellow.
Appreciate the invite.
I didn't call you old. I called you knowledgeable.
He already. If you heard the first, yet. If you were listening to the first part of the podcast, he already dated himself. So, well, people don't know how old we are, based off of you. You could be using a crossbow because you're 7 years old, as we were discussing earlier.
Yeah,
you don't sound like a 7 year old.
Although I've been posting live videos of me and my stand and bucks coming and whatever and.
People
are getting in my face now.
People
should
know that beard. Yeah. Yep.
I told my wife, though, when I kill a buck, I'm trimming it up. Taking it down to the face. Nah, I told her.
He's shaving it down.
But if I don't kill a buck, then
It's going to grow.
See, now you're giving my other half there an idea about shaving. You need to knock that off.
Don't put any stipulations on that.
Roy's going on 2 years. Going on 2 years, bro. That's a beard.
Almost 2 years.
Yep.
Year and a half.
It's tough. Ways, it's tough to keep them through the summer and everything like that.
Yeah, it's getting to the point now where it's
terrible.
Never had an archery season where my beard keeps getting stuck in my zippers and my coat. <My boobs>. It's terrible out there.
Well, that's what you dribble your estrus in during the season. You know, spray that right.
Just
in that
use
beard.
It as a scent drag.
Yep.
Yeah, just fall right behind. Use it as a scent drag.
Oh yeah.
It's all good.
Just
all
have
good.
It dripping down there. It'll drip down in the ground. But, yeah, second part of episode 24.
Second part of episode 24.
We're back. Dr. Bill, thank you for being here.
Appreciate
it. We can't get off of the big bucks just yet, so we got to come back in with that a little bit. Any experiences you guys had? I don't care if it's big bucks, any bucks.
It's the time of season to be out there right
now. Cool story, anything?
A cool story. Last season.
Cool story, yeah. Last season. I don't care if it's this season, last season.
Last season, around this time of the year when the rut kind of just started kicking up, I was hunting with Holland in his property near Blue Knob, and it was just getting dark, kind of like the story you
were hunting in Holland.
Yeah, no, with Holland. Story you tell right when the deer are starting to move down to you right at dark, and they're active vocally. You can hear them. The first time I've ever seen this happen, there was a buck chasing two does, ran right underneath my tree. Like, hit this doe by the ass, turned around, tackled her, and she was, like, on her back, legs flailing, got on top and was just messing around with her.
Really?
It was kind of weird, yeah.
I can't believe you didn't do the animal noises. But for in the middle of that,
I couldn't replicate that. But it was interesting to see, I mean, how aggressive they can get when they're in close, and he just knocked her right over, right on top. Not that they were going at it, but it was
it's not the right style.
Impressive. No.
He was trying a different style.
Make it happen.
Anyway.
That was an interesting experience.
Good story. Roy, any crazy stories out there in the deer woods you were absolutely amazed by? There's got to be one that sticks in your head.
Oh, there's a couple sticking in my head.
I'm amazed.
Oh, my.
I'd tell him about that big giant one that you got hanging on the wall. That's the one that I'd tell
that
him.
That one there?
Oh, that little guy? Oh,
that probably is the coolest story that you
that,
have.
That was good. I had lots of deer around me that
probably
night.
Probably heading that direction anyway. I'm just
yeah,
making,
I get with that. Probably, sure you know to, yeah, so that was the biggest the one I've ever killed with a bow, so it was. I sat all day. It was an all-day hunt. Like, time changes, so that means next weekend everybody got to get up an hour earlier.
Oh yeah!
Do that.
Ouch.
So
3:30, 4 o'clock. My alarm will go off.
You hunting all day? Sit. You know, I like to be there at least an hour before daylight. In my stand, ready to go. So that means I'm there an hour and a half before daylight. And I sat all day. It was the last 25 minutes of light, and I had 4 or 5 does come in underneath me from below, and then out of nowhere, I mean, I had the does right above me, but out of nowhere, I look down and I see another doe. And then, all of a sudden, I see horns. I'm like, oh, I get binoculars out. And I looked, and I thought, holy heck, there he is. It's a big one. Then I know it. Here come the doe. She come walking right in, and I'm watching her through the grate of my stand. She's underneath me. Walks by. Look, I got 6 of them now to the left of me, about eye level, because I'm on the steep hunting. They're about eye level, the does. I look down, there's the buck, he's standing. I'm looking at his horns through the grate of my stand. He's right under me. He takes about 10 steps. I draw back, all the does look at me. They're all staring at me, every one of them. And I'm looking at him, and he's not looking at me. He's looking at the does. I let the arrow fly, and he ran about 20 yards and stopped, and I could see a big red splotch on him on the side of him. And I thought, I think I hit him good. Left it go, and I went back to the house and thought about it. I thought, I'm going to wait till morning. I'm going to go track him. I went in the morning and stand there in the dark, looking down over the bank, and I could see white. Wasn't daylight yet, but then I walked straight down, followed the blood trail, went right to the white, and there he was.
In between that, we all had gone back. Everybody met, and Roy came back, and there's 8-10 of us all in the same spot. And they said, Roy hit a big one. Roy hit a big one. So it was kind of exciting. And he did shoot. It was a monster of a 9-point right there.
It was one of the biggest ones I've ever killed with a bow.
Yeah.
I saw it. Very heavy.
Giant deer.
Giant deer.
Giant set of horns. That we had a picture of it actually, like in we had two or three pictures of that same buck.
On the hoof, still alive,
right?
Yeah.
Still, right. Yep. We had two or three pictures of that one with like two or three other nice bucks, and we all were drooling over that. Like whenever we had the pictures of it, and Roy has it right on his wall.
Yeah. I was just in the right place at the right
time, brother Roy, right there.
It has a lot to do with it. Right place at the right time.
I wound up one of my best bucks shooting that stories was really a miss, and this wasn't that long ago, and we had hunted in a small patch of woods over by the we had on camera a giant of a deer, and one evening I was up there, and this thing was I saw it coming from way, way, way down below me, and it was pretty steep right there, watching it come up, head down, just right before, like, starting to get dark, and this thing stepped out, and I mean, it stood broadside looking, staring straight at me, and I got a nice draw on this thing, and I thought, okay, this is going to be amazing. I watched that arrow with the Luminoc go about 4 inches over that thing's back. I watched that arrow sing right over that thing's back. Okay, so that was archer error. And I'm a 25-year archer, and I watched that arrow zing right over top of its back. And downhill, you gotta aim down. Okay, so a little bit of a yardage mishap there. But because I missed that deer, that very season, that's the year that we went out and I met Roy's grandpap. And from there on in, I mean, there's a long history. So there's a, 6-year history of us going from out there. So because I missed that deer, had I shot that deer, my season would have been over.
So
we went from there that very same season. We went back and we wound up going back to his paps. And from there, we've been like, you know, we have.
We went from 2 acres of food plot 1 year, and now we're up to 12 acres of food plot.
About 12 acres of food plots we have out there. I attribute that nice big giant hammer of a 10-point. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what happened. I mean, right after I watched the arrow launch over its back, it stopped 75, 80 yards away, put the glasses. My glasses are shaking so hard. I can't see. I stuck them up against the tree that I was in, and I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, my God. I called Roy. I said, oh, my God. I saw it. We had a heart attack. He saw it the next day.
Yep. I did.
He saw it the next day.
We never did kill that deer.
That thing wasn't meant to.
One that got away.
So that was one of the best ones that ever got away. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good story.
Sure. Clean miss.
Oh,
kudos to that. Clean miss.
That's one of the benefits of those.
I was getting text messages of him. He was crying the blues for like 3-4 days over that one.
And you know what? You talk about having like nighttime. Yeah. It doesn't go away because that was a long time ago. And,
still there. Still there.
Come around every hunting season.
That's one of the benefits of those illuminated knocks.
Yeah. You can see the path of the arrow very well.
Like,
yep.
To be sure, the way the archery has come every single year, there seems to be new, not just new products, but, you know, the things that make it, you know, better, make us better hunters.
Better ethically, yeah. I mean, it's not just flash and pizzazz. There's a reason behind a lot of the products that are produced year over year and the improvements that they make on equipment and stuff like that. So
broadheads.
Yep.
Oh, my God, broadheads have become.
They came a long way.
Yep.
I mean, everybody shot muzzies at one time.
Well, I was a muzzy hunter.
Yeah, I was too when I first started.
I started with Grim Reapers.
Going back to missing deer.
I don't think Grim Reapers were out when I was hunting.
Really?
I don't think.
Nah, yeah, they were a little there. We predated the Grim Reapers.
Oh, I'm sure. I think we did.
We used to have to break up a stone. We had to grind a stone.
Handmade. Dr. Bill's handmade broadheads.
It was a long time ago.
Get him here. I missed the same deer 3 times 1 year. I think it was 15 or 16. When I was an avid shooter, I shot a lot growing up. It was a good shot. Still am a good shot, but going back to the story, Roy's story of predating rangefinders. I was young.
Awesome.
Wasn't a very big.
I love my rangefinder.
Wasn't a very big buck, but it was just one of those instances where it came in, and I was young and excited. Shot over its back. It circled around to my right. Shot under its belly. It came around underneath my tree and started walking out from me and turned around, shot underneath its belly again, and then it took off. Ran out of arrows.
Ran out of arrows. I've been there.
Did you climb down, collect them, and get back up? Or
no,
how'd that work?
I just sat there and kind of beat myself up. But yeah.
Good story.
A good clean miss is not always a bad thing.
Nope. Absolutely.
A bad hit is a bad thing.
Less than perfect hit, that's what I say.
One more quick deer story. Another number that's really high in relation to hunting instances, at least the number of times this deer was shot. In archery season one year, we had a deer that was shot 6 times.
You told us in probably episode 13.
Or four, you know, was it 13?
I don't know, something like that.
Shot 6 times. We tracked it for like 2.5 miles. I think everybody that tracked it except for me shot it. Would not die. Pure adrenaline. This thing, it was like ridiculous. But that was one of those interesting story instances. I mean, it was like otherworldly.
Everybody gets a marginal hit.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That you have a sleepless night over. Yeah.
Yep. I never did it here. I did it down in Texas. Ended up, I shot a deer. Hit him a little high, but it was a good hit. The thing dropped, was laying there, not moving. The guide and I were high-fiving, you know. I set my gun down. I mean, it was like 5 minutes past, you know. And all of a sudden, the guide looks at me and he goes, "That deer just picked his head up. Get your gun up, get your gun up." And by the time I got up, he stood up, he ran behind this sage, or whatever the heck it is down there, but he ran behind it, and I couldn't get a shot, and I was like, he's like, "Just shoot, just shoot, just shoot," and I'm like, "I don't have anything, I have nothing, I can't even see his body, I'd be shooting into nothing," and anyway, that thing ran off, and he's like, "All right, it was getting dark, so like, we'll go back and get it in the morning." Never went back, didn't find it. I had to get on my plane, so flying back, he called me like 2 days later, he said he found it 100 yards from where I hit it at, but it was just in this bush, we couldn't find it, it didn't bleed much because of the high hit.
Was it with the bow?
No, it was with the rifle.
With the rifle.
Yeah, the rifle. Just no man's land. It was a high hit, and took him a while to fill up with blood, and it killed him, but no blood for a while. So 100 yards from where I shot him at, laying there. So don't ever think maybe you missed a deer. It just could be there.
Oh, yeah. It just could be there.
I'll tell you, what I have the benefit of, we were talking about this earlier, I'm going to give props to my brother, Roy. I mean, he... My friend Roy can find a drop of blood, and I mean a speck, the most minuscule speck of blood that can be every 8 or 12 feet.
I got an eye for the woods. I'm in there every day.
We just kind of stay back away from him, and
Apache.
And we wait till he gets to the deer, and then he'll say, "Yeah, it's up here," and we go after it. It's been
I found a lot more deer than I shot.
So if you ever need tracking service, you can.
If I'm not doing nothing, I might come help you.
You got a big deer, fly him in. Pay for his airfare and his room and board. He'll be good to go.
I've never seen anything like that before.
It's not all about finding blood, though. You got to find turned up leaves. You got to find broken twigs.
Leaves,
you
got to
find
anything.
Yeah, anything that you can see something barreled through or slipped on or turned up or whatever. You need to follow it up and do little circles around that because he might cut left or cut right or backtrack on you right there. So once you find that stuff, if you lose something for a while and you find a broken twig, it's fresh, you know, or you find some scuffed up leaves. Always do some circles around that and try and find something around that. Yep. But that's how I do it.
My biggest thing is don't rush into it.
Yeah.
Don't go fast. Find blood. Find a speck of blood and only go 10 feet. There's got to be another speck somewhere. You'll find it. Just a lot of guys will go out ahead and they're kicking up leaves. They're covering up blood just from, you know, tramp around looking. You got to take your time and look. Don't get in a rush.
Well, that too, and depending upon the quality of the hit.
Yeah.
You could potentially be pushing that deer further and further and further. The longer you let it lay, the higher the probability of
then there's the coyote issues too people yes. have. I've had it happen. I've had a whole deer eating overnight.
There's yeah, such a I mean, that's a bloodless good hit.
Yep.
That's a chance you have to take, though, I think.
Buck I shot 2 years ago there that I left overnight, it was perfectly fine. The doe I shot earlier in the season, it got the whole deer got ate yep. up overnight.
Coyotes.
That's yep. a chance you got to
I
take.
I heard on Saturday. Coyotes. Saturday I heard them hound in the morning. There was a hell of a pack up close yep. to us.
Rocky Eerie. Country up there. That's where they live. Dens are in those rocks.
Rock den.
Kind of sound like you were coyotes. In a few people's yards and by a few cow pastures.
Yep. Mm. So I think to go back to the stories of the big deer, one of my favorite stories, and it relates to Pierre Brad, is when we hunted, and this predating ourselves, this was pre-cell phone, walkie-talkie days. So the land he hunts is, I don't know, 6 miles, 5 miles, four, probably less than that. As the crow flies.
As the crow flies? Yeah. Probably like 4 miles.
4 miles.
Yeah.
So every year.
If that.
We'd pick up their channel where we were hunting. You could hear back and forth what's going on. And that year, I forget how many years ago it was when you shot that really big one, and then your cousin shot the really big one, and then your cousin's son shot that 8-point.
Yeah.
One of those instances where you just going into an area and you see that kind of success and just the amount of energy and how ecstatic everybody is. That was one of the coolest hunting instances that I've experienced. Just that
just through walkie-talkie.
So, yeah. Well, no, when I came up.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Because I'm
yeah.
listening to, oh, you can hear all these because you hunt with sometimes up to 20 guys, right?
No, there's probably like 12 guys maximum, yeah. and usually it's two of the guys are kids with yep. their dads in the yep. same stand, so 10 probably the max yeah. where you spread on the property, but it's rifle season. You can do whatever the heck you want in yeah. rifle season.
Yeah.
Surround the property. Don't let anything in or out.
As long as everybody's got a license for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yep.
That was a cool day. I can remember I was sitting there. I got in late. I was dropping everybody off on the four-wheeler to their stands. I got in late, and I'm sneaking down in, and I'm all mad because I'm down in there late. And I bumped 2 doe. And I just said, screw it. I'm sitting right here. I sat down, kicked out some leaves. Didn't even get down to my stand. Sat down. An hour later, here comes this buck. Coming right down to me. Like, you got to be kidding me. So it comes down to me, I think it's a big 6-point. That's all I can see is 3 on one side, but it's big. And he comes down to me. He stays there. Stands there for a while. I actually lose him. I think he's gone because that's how long he just stood there and didn't move a muscle. And then all of a sudden, I see him move. I see his antlers move. He comes down the ridge, and he's walking away from me. And I have my scope right across his back. And I said, lift your head up, and I'm going to shoot you in the back of the neck, you know? So he lifts his head up. I squeeze the trigger. I missed him.
That happens.
I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, I'm sweating it. I just crank another one in and pump, 270 pump. Crank another one in, and I'm following him down through this, And I see an opening, and I squeeze, and I hit that son of a gun right behind the shoulder. Can you believe it? Luckiest thing in the world. And it runs up and does this thing, and I see it go like this, and I still don't think it's dead, but I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe I hit him. I walked up there. It was an epic moment in my life whenever epic. I saw that thing laying epic. Dead. Yeah, laying dead up there. It was unbelievable, but I missed him first shot. Biggest buck I ever killed to date.
Nice.
And I missed him first shot.
That happens. It mm-hmm. does. It happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you shot him. How big was he? What, 14? 12?
He had some times busted off. He would have been a 13 point. Yeah. He had some times busted off. His score was 136.
Awesome. So you shot him, and then your cousin shot a real nice 10 point.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I didn't even, in all this commotion, I never even heard what was going on down that way.
Yep.
Even on the radio, I had ear plugs in, and because just everything was going on, I didn't hear anything. It's just my head was shut off. I was just focused on this deer. And, here he killed a 10 point. And his son killed an 8-point. And the son was supposed to kill the big 10, but he couldn't get the scope on him. And the deer was leaving the area. And my uncle was like, Jay, you have to get the gun on this deer. I have to shoot him if you can't get him. Can you get him? And he asked him like 4 or 5 times. And He's like, no. He's like, last chance. And Jay said, no. So he downed a 10-point, boom.
Yep.
And Jay was disappointed. Well, here, this little 8-point, not little, like decent.
Yeah, it's a good 8-point.
Good 8-point, you know. Runs out right behind where that 10-point got shot.
Yep.
And his dad's like, get on him, get on him. Are you on him? He goes, yeah. He goes, shoot. Jay drops that one right there. So they had $2 laying up there.
You had one.
I had one down there. So then I was like, okay. So then I hear all the stuff going on the radio finally. And I'm like, I got mine down and drug him down to the property line. I said, I'm going to let him sit there until everybody's done hunting. This was early. I said, I'm going to come up to you guys because it was kind of segregated from everybody else. So I walk up to him and I see his big 10-point laying there. And he goes, I said, that's a great buck. You know, that's awesome. I can't believe you killed that buck. And I looked at Jay's. I was like,
that's a great,
you know,
buck.
This is his first year hunting, mind you. And I'm like, this doesn't happen all the time, buddy. Like, you don't think this is something you can just get in the stand and go do. This is not what happens.
Everybody, and, it's just luck.
Yeah. Not reality.
This place the right time.
And he's, you know, my uncle's like, that's a good deer. And I said, you should see mine. I think it's bigger. He goes, there's no way yours is bigger. You know, so we had that little conversation.
You should see mine. No way.
I'm like, I'm telling you, I think it's bigger. If it's not bigger, it's the same size. He goes, oh, you shitting me? I said, no, I'm not shitting you.
Yours is bigger. Mine's bigger.
that was one of those back and forth for a while. Yep. What an awesome day. I mean, just that's one of the days I'll never forget. We still have pictures of that hanging at camp and in my garage.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Where's
your camp?
Donnertown.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny that sitting over on the adjacent property listening to these guys talk, like you said, 12 or 13 of them. Oh, Brad, there's 6 coming your way. Rob, 3 coming down here. 3. Like all day long. And then you could just hear the gunshots firing off. Because weren't there were a couple doe shot that day as well, too, right?
Technically, I was texting you that at that point. Because you're not allowed to track deer with walkie-talkies.
That's true.
So we weren't.
This was back in like 83.
That's when you were allowed to do it.
SOS is, yeah, it was before that time. But
83.
It was before the tracking of the
yep
deer. But anyway, so, good times.
Good stories.
That was one of the best days up there, though, I'll tell you.
That's a good day at any camp.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of sodas drank that day.
Soda. I love soda.
Celebration sodas.
Camp experience, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Can't beat that.
Can you believe that? Kid's first time hunting. First time in the woods hunting. And this happens to him. Double out of the same stand.
Oh, yeah.
I have
two good bucks. Two good bucks.
All these stories, great all these hunting stories of all kinds. I've kept a journal, and it's been every hunt, whether it's a deer hunt, archery, firearm, grouse, squirrel, anything. I'm pushing probably 11 or 12 years. Every single hunt.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome to look at his books. He's going to write down.
I got a bunch of, it's like a little notebook with little spirals. And I had a couple of them, and I filled them up, and really interesting.
I ordered a couple more of them, gave you some, and you got more books going now.
Yeah, so I got, and I kept them going, but it's every single hunt.
Do you ever analyze what you've done the years past, or it's
every
just there to,
yeah? Every solitary year, I'll fire a couple of them in my pack, and just like if I get like super bored or like, you know, it sets in. I mean, it's just one of those things, and I'll fire into those old hunts, and truly, I mean, it is a completely different. It's a completely different Pennsylvania deer woods than it used to be.
Oh, my.
I mean, yes. Just colossally different. Jeez. You know, where...
We got less deer, I think. But we got bigger bucks.
Far less deer.
Yeah. Bigger bucks, though.
Right.
No, the herd back in. Like, when I started hunting in from age 12 to probably, I don't know, 19 or 20... it'd be nothing to go out and see 40, 50 deer a day, 8, 9 bucks. Just they're all over the place.
Not big bucks, just little bucks.
Yeah, just a lot of bucks.
Yeah. If it was 8 or 9, you saw 7 spikes almost, and 4 points.
Yep, almost every time you went out, and it was like that for a long time. And now, considering how it is, and it's getting better, it's seemingly getting better. At least you're seeing a lot of bigger deer. It's a different time for kids. It's a different time to get youth involved in hunting because when I went out, you could sit there and see 40 deer a day, and it was just nonstop adrenaline. Nowadays, sometimes people go out, you don't see a deer all year long.
Super good point to try to get the youth involved. Yep. I mean, that's a problem. If you take out, you can it for us to go out and to say we saw. I had a good. Last Saturday, I had a decent day. I saw two decent bucks and two does real close by. not a bad day for me. For a young hunter, it's very difficult to get a young hunter to see four deer in day and say, do you want to go out this Saturday, next Saturday?
That's
and a spend long, a long day.
It's a long
sit. It's a haul. I mean, you know, it is. It's a long sit. And, you know, there's a big difference between that and whenever we were young and we would go out and we would see an honest, and it was an honest to God herd.
Yep.
You know, you would, we would see herds of, but it would be 30 does and a spike on, on behind them.
Now you see groups of like five, six. Sometimes you're lucky; you might see like 13 or something. And it's rare.
Back in the glory days, but all the more reason and importance for people to practice land management and really think about what you're doing if you have property.
If you have property, we only have a little over 40 acres that we're messing with, and we're planting 12 acres of it.
Yep.
And I went out Saturday; I seen 24 deer.
Yeah. Well, you think of that. You think of that concept as not really being selfish in nature, but doing that is self-serving to a point for you guys. You want, obviously, to shoot bigger deer.
Yeah, and we have deer that stick around, like record of deer that are 5-6 years old does, and they've raised their fawns for how many years on our food plots, and they're getting all that good food.
But when you do that in the background, what you're doing for all other hunters and youth hunters, going back to that aspect of it, when you practice quality deer management on your property, it has an effect on the amount of deer that kids are going to be seeing while they're out there on adjacent properties. Just
if more people
the
guys in the game lands love us.
Yeah,
the guys in the game lands, they love us.
So it has, it has
a pumpkin patch.
It has a lot of a lot of positive aspects for the sport and for the tradition.
Yeah, we had an opportunity that truly I don't know how you could otherwise conduct a study that could have been as effective as what we saw, how does stick around. We had what we called the horny doe. We had one doe, never lost that horn.
I saw pictures there. One little horn.
We talked about,
okay, so she stayed around that same farm. She was around there, was it seven? It was
7 years.
7 years.
7 years, and to identify the exact same doe to stay in one spot it's almost impossible otherwise to do. How would you do that?
And
she identified herself by having that horn, and she just so happened to have that horn on it or her head, and we would watch like the number of fawns. It was, you know, 1, 1, 1, 2, 2, 2, and it was kind of like a neat thing. It was kind of neat how that went there. Hard to otherwise find out, like, how many deer or what kind of deer stick around your property, or if they stay, or however it goes.
Yep. So if you want to find out information about or see just a real life instance of what can be done with a property, if you have any questions, Brother Roy's page is a very good place to look.
Yeah, people, don't be afraid to ask me some questions. I'll tell you everything I can tell you about food plots.
Yep. So
learn from his mistakes before you do them yourself, and it costs you a lot of money.
Lots of mistakes, and
hey, that's how you learn. That's how you learn. So, an ending segment, but to expound upon our brothers from the East Coast, the R2 gentlemen.
R2 Pursuits, we had, I think it was episode 5 of theirs that G.I. Justin and I were on.
You're a special guest, but one of their members, Mr. Holsinger, what I'll go by, was fishing up in New York. It was a salmon run. He was posting pictures of what he was catching. And there were some really, really, really big salmon. It was kind of intriguing just seeing fish that big, people holding them up, giant fish. So anyways, we're looking at these pictures of him, and we were asking him where he's at, and he's telling us, and just so happens that for work, we're going up there 2 days after he'd been posting all these pictures. So we went up there and we fished for 2 days. You know, it was a unique experience, just seeing fish of that size being pulled out on a regular basis, but they're also running at the same time. They're swimming up beside you, swimming up like big splashes. You're hooking fish that are 40 inches long, 30, 40 pounds, and they're just jumping out of the water and breaking people off. But it's a cool experience, that they're running now. And there's a lot of people in Pennsylvania that fish, or well, a lot of people in a lot of different areas that fish the Erie area. The steelhead are starting, are starting to run right now, and maybe not up in Erie, but they'll start running soon, and they'll run for months and months and months and months. That area is a big area to fish. If you're in Pennsylvania or not in Pennsylvania and around that area, and you want something fun to do outside, get a fishing license, get a Erie stamp, go up and fish for steelhead. There's tons of water up, again, up in Erie, and it is a good time. It's if you like to fish, it's definitely a unique experience. And on a side note, I'll throw a plug out for somebody.
Plug.
Poor Richards, I believe, is the name of the bait shop up there. So when you go up there, if you catch a salmon, you can take it to Poor Richards and exchange it for a smoke. Like, you take your fillets after you catch a salmon, you take it to this bait shop, and he just exchanges for you a fillet, a smoked fillet of the same size. And man, is it delicious.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
is a side note.
Yeah, that's half a good deal.
My favorite style of salmon.
Smoked.
Yeah.
So if you get a chance, go fish for steelhead, or just go out and do it at some point in time. So this
coming to an end.
This is coming to the end. But again, our two pursuits, you should check them out. Mr. Holsinger is a one heck of a fly fisherman.
Our two pursuits, good guys. They have a podcast out, so check them out. Check out their Facebook page. You can get contact information for their podcast. Doing a pretty good job. G.I. Justin and I were on there last week talking deer. So should be good.
Yeah.
Coming to the end of our episode, check us out, please. PARetReport.com, PARetReport on Instagram at PARetReport, and on Facebook as usual. Tune in for the weekly roll calls.
Thanks.
Or the everyday roll calls
everyday
nowadays.
Everyday roll calls. Thanks again to Brother Roy and Dr. Bill.
Yeah, don't forget to check out Brother Roy.
Thanks for having me.
Check out Brother Roy. Dr. Bill will be back again. Dr. Bill will be back again. Brother Roy will be back again. Stay tuned. Episode 25 is coming out at some point in time.
It won't be long, people.
No.
Thanks.
Big bucks down.
BBD.
Get it done.
BBD.